way here. And welcome to our Wednesday night prayer meeting service. Good to see everybody once again. And I hope everybody's been having a good week this week. And define good, Bro Justin. And okay, above ground. We're doing good. We're doing good. And like someone said one time, it's better to be seen than viewed. And you'll get that in a minute. So, but anyway, it is good to be here. Have a lot of rain stopping and starting going on in the neighborhood this week. And so be safe on your way out. You never know what the weather's going to be like, but we appreciate the rain. Lord knows we need it. And again, it's just good to be here. Good to be here. Remember, this coming up Saturday, we're going to have at 7 o'clock our movie night, and out in the parking lot out there. And Brother Dakota has his eye on the weather. If anything changes, we'll pivot. Move on the inside, something like that, but he'll make that decision closer to that time. And like to ask for some volunteer help to show up. What's that, around 4 or 5, Brother Dakota? Around 5 o'clock, I guess, for all the help. 4 to 5, something like that. Four or five, something like that. And that'll be great. And everything is rolling right along with that event, and we're excited about it. Lord willing, we'll get some good number of visitors from the community to come. And so just remember that if you would. And we will go through our prayer list this time. Remember our children's home staff and young people, schools out for the summer. And so just remember everybody on that. Remember Brother Bobby, he goes on Friday. I believe it is it at 9 o'clock, the actual procedure? 9:30? Okay, and you gotta be there early, I believe like 7:30, something like that. Okay. All right. And so we're gonna pray for Brother Bobby tonight. That heart catheterization coming up, and that the Lord will touch him and touch the doctors that touch him. And so let's pray for him. Continue to remember Krista Sapp as she recovers from her hip surgery, Carrie Bennett from her stroke, Connie Teague from her stomach surgery, Lucy Godfrey, and Miss Mary Kay says that she sends word that Lord willing she'll be back with us soon, but continue to pray for her sister and her, and that we will do. Harold Dolph and his granddaughter Anna Kate, continue to remember her. Diane Ely, as she continues to get better, and she's still undergoing appointments. I was messaging back and forth with Randy the other day, and he said she's good days, bad days, but she is on her way slowly to recovery, but do continue to remember her. Jim Jr. and his recovery and his therapy. Leonard and Dolores Palmer. Brother Leonard's situation. And just continue to hold them up in prayer as they're with her son, their son and family. But remember them. Don Daly, Claudia Darby, Connie Norton, my grandparents, Don and Carla Rich. I believe they'll probably be around for about a week longer. I'm thinking they're going back in about a week or so, maybe 2 weeks, something like that. But anyway, let's just remember them in prayer. Our shut-ins, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCrickard, Joyce Manning, and of course James Tolan Brown, Jamie Carden, in the services. But we'll open up the floor. Maybe someone has a prayer request or a praise or some kind of update of some kind. Does he? Okay. Friday at 8:30, okay. Let's remember. Two going Friday, that's right. That's right. Jack Henderson. All right. Hassan? COPD? Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Yes. Sammy's brother-in-law. Let's remember him tonight. Did he? Lee Ellen's cousin that fell out of the tree passed away yesterday. Okay. I'm guessing that's where they're at right now. That's what I heard of on Sunday. So maybe that's where they're at. And now this happened. Do we know what cousin? Same guy. It's the same deal. Okay. Okay. I got you. I'm following you now. Yeah. It's easy to get crossed up a little bit on that. Okay. So that is where they're at tonight. Okay. Yeah. How you doing on that, OCC? Excellent. Thank you for that. Anybody with anything else? All right. Well, that's all we have. We'll all meet in the altar, all that would like to and can, and we'll have a time of prayer together. We will have audible prayer tonight. Pray for Brother Bobby and his appointment on Friday. Brother Jack, Miss Marianne Sanby's brother-in-law. Brother-in-law, right? Okay. And Roy. And then Brother Jeff will have a song for us. All right. So all that we like. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name tonight, and we're just thankful of this opportunity to bow and enter into your presence one more time. Lord, we our conscience of our need of you every single day, Lord, to even sleep and to rise and go again. It takes an act of Almighty God. And so, Lord, we just yield to you tonight because in you we live and move and have our being. Tonight, Lord, we lift up Brother Bobby to you in prayer. God, you have touched him in times past. You have touched him down through the years. He is in your hand, and you are in control. But tonight, we just love him, and we appreciate him and Sister Nancy and what they mean to us personally and our church. I just pray that you would be with him on that day, on Friday. Be with the doctors. I pray that you'd give him peace and just confirmation in spirit that all will be well because you're in control. And I pray that it will be done accurately, and I pray that this will bring immediate relief to him so that he can continue on with his daily activities with joy and happiness and just enjoying his life, he and Miss Nancy. Father, we pray for Jack Henderson, that you would touch him in his upcoming surgery, that you would guide the hands of the doctors and allow him to be in better health because of this surgery, this procedure. And Father, we pray for Miss Jackie as well. We pray for Miss Nancy as well as they go to support their husbands during this time. Father, that you would give them strength during these procedures and operations even. And God, that you would be with Marianne Sanvey's brother-in-law, Lord, that you would touch him through this. I pray that he would be better and that you would get the glory for it. Just be with their family during this time as well. And Lord, for everybody else on our prayer list, Leonard and Dolores, Lord, we call them out to you tonight in prayer. You know what they need. And Miss Dolores' leg and the medications that they probably need. And we know that Brother Leonard is off of medication, but God, I just pray that you would raise him up and touch him and allow them both to get whatever medications they need for their situations. Just wrap your arms of love around them. I thank you for their family that's standing by them. And Lord, they know that their family, Calvary, is here waiting for them and that's here for them as well. Every person, Lord, every life, we call out to you. Jim Jr., who's having therapy with his foot. Diane Ely and Randy with her situation. Miss Connie Teague and Carrie Bennett, Lord. And Harold Dosh's granddaughter, we pray for her as well. And Father, we call out to you tonight for Ella Louise, Bobby and Nancy's granddaughter, God, that she tore her ACL. We pray that you would touch her and when her operation time comes around, that you would use the doctors to correct that. Give her traveling mercy and safety. She's going on a mission trip with a torn ACL. And so we just pray for your miraculous hands of healing to be upon her and her knee and give protection. Father, there's so many people going through so many different things tonight. We have, I'm sure, people with just problems in the home, and there may be some who have marital problems, and there may be some who are struggling with your will, God, and defining what it is and where they're at. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'll bring clarity and light to every home, every heart, every person. Those watching on Facebook, Lord, those listening on our webpage, those that are here in person tonight, I pray for a special blessing. God, we pray for the family of the rich, the riches, with the news that we have received, Lord, and the memorial service and this tragedy that took place. I pray that you'll just give comfort there, Lord. Be with us in our studies tonight. Be with those downstairs that's teaching and our young people and Christy and Brian and Darlene and everybody that's down there. God, give them safety and give us safety up here. And Father, I just love you tonight. I thank you for this opportunity to stand one more time. I pray that you would speak to all of us, make it worth our while for being here. I know you will, like you always do. Prepare our hearts now for worship and the music and the message. But then, Lord, when we leave and go our separate ways, help us tell somebody about Jesus. Just be kind to everyone and prepare for Sunday's worship, because we know you're going to do great things in the morning and in the evening. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts tonight. Amen.
Amen. Brother Jeff.
Jeff, that's still the Great Commission. Bring them in. Bring them in. The Bible says that my house may be full. And so that's what we're about here at Calvary, is bringing them in. And so appreciate that. I get sometimes questions about different subjects, and And when I hear about one that comes up over and over, I try to do my best to talk about it, to shed some light on it. And I got to thinking about a certain subject this week that I want to talk about tonight. And, you know, this world, Hollywood, and just many people are fascinated with angels. And tonight, I want to take a look, if I could, for just a few moments at that subject. The title is A Look at Angels. You know, there's people who worship angels. And listen, if you have an angel, a bobblehead angel on your dashboard of your car, or an angel hanging from your rear view, listen, that is, I'm not saying anything bad against that. Angels are in the Bible, okay? I can't remember. I think it's, what are the little wooden figurines, the Hallmark? They really don't have a face. They're just wooden figurines. We've got figurines of angels like that. And I can remember growing up in my grandmother's house, and she had this picture on the wall of two little kids walking across a bridge in the middle of a storm. You may have seen a painting similar, and a big angel right there hovering over them. Angels are biblical, okay? Whatever we think about them or feel of them, it's a Bible thing, and they're real. We're just not to worship them, and we'll point out a scripture or two tonight that says that, but there's nothing wrong with thinking about angels and things along those lines. There's nothing even wrong with having figurines of angels, you know, things like that. But this is one of those topics that I do want to talk about. It's going to be a classroom style. It's going to be a Bible drill. And so I just feel like it'll be a good change of pace to nestle in this subject tonight and look at angels. And in a few moments, we will be reading from Luke 24, verse 39. So you can make your way there now. Luke 24, verse number 39. And let's bow for a word of prayer before we actually begin looking at this subject. This may be a one Wednesday night subject. We may turn it into two. We'll just see as we go. I just don't want to rush it no matter what we do. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. Be with us for the next few moments as we attempt to look into this subject. I pray, Father, that you'd give me clarity of mind, calm heart, clear head. Help me rightly divide your word. And Father, I just want us to be educated on this. I know most of us already are, but educated, but then at the same time, maybe even encouraged. Because this is something that is in the pages of your book, and so I know that it's here for a reason, and so apply it to our hearts the best way you seem fit. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. A look at angels. I want to talk about three things tonight. Number one, angels are spirit beings. And then I want to get into angels are real personal beings. And then angels are created beings. And I'll differentiate as we travel through here and look at these things. Number one tonight, angels are spirit beings. Again, this is going to be classroom style. So I'll just give it to you as I have it. We know from God's word that angels are real beings. Angels are spirit beings, and we know that a spirit being does not have flesh and bone. Notice, if you would, in Luke 24, in verse number 39, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Jesus is saying, I'm not a spirit. In this context, he's saying, I really rose from the dead. He says, touch me. He says, behold my hands and my feet. And that word, behold, we did a study on that one time, and it means to pay close attention. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see me. In other words, feel me, touch me. I'm not a spirit. This is me, Jesus, the same one that died and was buried. I am rose from the grave. It's me. He says, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Now, if a spirit does not have flesh and bones, what does it have? Well, we do know that a spirit, an angel, they do have some kind of body. Some kind of body. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, for a moment to Genesis 18. We find in the scriptures that angels often look in the shape or the form of a human. Genesis 18. Genesis 18. And we find that angels often look on human form, as in this particular case we're about to read, where the Lord and two angels appeared to Abraham in human form. Genesis 18, notice verse 1, then 2. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, speaking of Abraham. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. I want to say that, first of all, with these verses, that Abraham knew this wasn't just some passerbyers. I mean, he bowed, the Bible says. He bowed himself toward the ground. There's some other verses we can look at. Verse number 22 says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. We can venture on over into, there's other chapters that talk about these particular men. Look at chapter number 19, verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. So we know these were two angels. And we know the Lord appeared with these two angels. And the Bible says again in chapter 18, verse 2, that three men stood by him. And so regardless of what we think about the big wings and things like that, here, at least, here we see they're in human form. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there are cherubims and seraphims that fly around the throne of God night and day, screaming, holy, 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 and they have wings. But the kind we're talking about right here, making appearances in Bible history, and even the kind that would entertain us today, Hebrews says, they are without wings. And no, mom, dad, brother, sister passed, they didn't get their wings, okay? I'm not being harsh, I'm not being unkind, but angels are a breed unto themselves. It's a fixed number, they do not reproduce, and that's going to get me off into some other things here in just a minute in the early part of Genesis. But we know from God's word that angels, they're real beings. They are spirit beings. They don't have flesh and blood. As we read back in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, but they do have a body, and many times in Scripture they're in human form. And so we see that all played out here. because they are spirit beings, they are not subject to many of man's limitations, such as being confined to gravity. Notice in verse number 1 of chapter 18, Genesis, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre." So, and these two angels, making three of them, they appeared. They appeared. They weren't walking from a distance. They weren't traveling days on end. But no, the Lord and these angels appeared. They're not bound by the limitations that we are. We have to walk. We have to travel. We can't, I can't think of the word. I was trying to think of it earlier today. Telecommunicate. At least we're not that way now. We may be in Jetsons form in the future. I don't know. There may be flying cars and all that. But that kind of power belongs to Jesus. And he appeared to Abraham with these two men. And again, chapter 19, verse 1 says that these two men with the Lord, a pre-appearance of Jesus Christ, a Christophany, that these indeed were angels in human form. All right. Not only that, but they're spirit beings because they are angels never die. They're spirit beings, and because of that, they'll never die. All right. We know the spirit lives on. Now, turn over, if you would, to Luke 20. Listen to this. In Luke 20, in verse number 36. Listen what the writer here says. Angels are spirit beings, and because they are spirit beings, they will never die. Luke 20, verse 36. Bible says, and I know it's on the screen. Thank you, guys. Verse number 36, "Neither can they die," the Bible says, "anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection." Of course, to get the proper context here, you got to go back and read. Look at verse 34. "And Jesus answering said unto them, The children of this world marry and are given to marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore." You know, that's the future for us. We won't be able to die anymore. And there's going to be no marriage and given in marriage. So if you want to get married, y'all go ahead and get married now back there. Because in the future, it's not going to be about that. It's going to be about Jesus. But then he says, "Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection." What does that mean, equal to the angels? It just means what it just says. Neither can they die anymore. Angels don't die. And that's what we see out of these beings. They're angels are spirit beings, and because they're spirit beings, they will never die. One day we won't die. They can't die now. We can die now, but one day we won't. But they can't die now, and neither will they ever be able to die. All right, so this evening, that's basically my point number one, is angels are spirit beings. They do not have flesh and bone, yet they have a body. Most of the time, it's in human form. They're not bound by limitations such as gravity. And they'll never die, being a spirit being, being an angel. Number two, not only angels are spirit beings, but angels are real personal beings. What do you mean, real personal beings? Well, angels possess intelligence, the Bible says. 1 Peter 1. They possess intelligence. They're real personable and personal. They have personal intelligence. 1 Peter 1 in verse number 12. the Bible says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto they that they did minister, unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And so angels possess intelligence. Here we find that angels, they know of the salvation of the saints. They desire to know more about it. They desire to look into it. But we know Christ came to redeem mankind and not angels. All right? Let me read you a verse. You can follow along if you like. Revelation 22, verse number 8 and 9. Listen to this. Revelation 22, verse number 8 and verse number 9. Here we see the angel in this chapter knew of the things of heaven and testified to John that he too, like the saints and the prophets, was simply a servant of God. We're talking about number two. Angels are real personal beings. They have intelligence. Revelation 22, verse number 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I had heard and seen, I fell down. Listen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou, do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And so right there we see that we're not to worship angels. I mean, John was so touched that he fell down to worship them. All right? And the angel said, don't worship me. I'm your fellow servant. I'm your fellow servant, and I'm of thy brethren of the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Whether we realize it or not, I believe that we have some unseen fellow servants. We have some that have assignments that are serving with us tonight. That's what I believe, and we'll look a little more into that in just a moment. But we see that they're aware of the scriptures. They're aware of the Bible. They're intelligent. And so he says, I am just a servant of God like you. Worship God, not me. But the angel here was definitely aware of the things of heaven and testified. Something else. This is going all the way back to the back. But Daniel 9. Make your way to Daniel 9. Follow on the screen, whatever you want to do. Daniel 9, 21 and 22. Daniel 9, 21 and 22. For the sake of time, I may follow along on the screen if I can, whichever one of us gets there first. There we go. Got a good staff in the back. Daniel 9, 21 and 22. Here we see the angel Gabriel was sent to Daniel to give him skill and understanding. He says in verse number 21, yea, whiles, I like that, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Verse number 22. And he informed me, and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. How about that? So angels are real personal beings with intelligence. And here the Bible says that the angel Gabriel was sent to Daniel to give him skill and understanding. Now, I want to hit the pause button for a moment. because I don't want you to think nor assume that I'm saying that angels speak to people today like this. Okay? This was in the context of this chapter, in this book. This was a certain message to be given to Daniel to broaden his knowledge. We have the Bible, the written word of God that speaks to us. We talk to God in prayer. He speaks to us through his word. Now, there are other denominations that feel like angels speak to them and visions and things like that. But we won't spend any time looking at that. I'm just saying that angels are very intelligent. And here the angel Gabriel was sent to Daniel to give him skill in understanding. Not only angels possess intelligence, but angels possess feeling. They possess feelings. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 13. I told y'all this is a Bible drill tonight. Luke 2, in verse number 13. Here we see there is no doubt that angels show emotion when they worship God. They are created spirit beings, but they are not robots without any emotion or feeling. Luke 2, 13. Listen to this. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. How about that? Great emotion. That's what we see here. This heavenly host, angel, was praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And so angels are not robots, you know, that kind of thing. You know, like Star Wars. I got to dish out my sound effects occasionally, y'all. Come on now. It wouldn't be me if I couldn't. But, you know, the whole robot, we aren't robots. Angels aren't robots. They have emotions, all right? And they're praising God. And so angels possess feeling. That's what we see here. Also, angels possess a will. This is where it starts to get a little difficult. Angels possess a will. 2 Peter 2:4. We're going to try to make our landing in one of these places and stay a little while, but 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 4. Here we're going to find that the angels who revolted against God chose to do so of their own free will. It appears that many of those who rebelled are confined in a special place in hell unto the judgment. Listen to this. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be revealed or to be reserved unto judgment. Again, the angels who revolted against God chose to do so of their own free will. We believe that Satan or Lucifer in the beginning was one of them, and he revolted against God and is believed to take many of with him when he did that. All right, now the scriptures tell us here that they're going to be judged one day, and they are kept in reserve down in hell. All right, the angels who revolted against God chose to do so of their own free will. It appears that many of those who rebelled are confined in a special place in hell unto the judgment. Now, just stay with me. I want to read a little bit in Revelation about this, where and what I believe is going on here. We know that during the future tribulation, demonic creatures will be released from hell onto the earth to torment men. Turn, if you would, to Revelation 9. We know this revolt happened of their own free will. The devil, Lucifer, and other angels, and they are in hell, confined until a certain time, we believe, to be released upon earth during the tribulation. Listen to this, Revelation 9, verse number 1. I'm going to read quite a few verses, but I just want us to get some context. Chapter 9, verse 1 through 12. Listen to this. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And upon them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. This is getting scary. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. That is terrible, isn't it? That is so terrible. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Okay, I want to stop right there. That is like, you know, like horror stuff on TV. Come on now. But this is the Bible. This is what's coming out of that horrible pit. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. That's all I want to know about that time, and that's all we're going to know about that time, because we're not going to be here, praise the Lord, those who are saved. And so if there's good angels, there's bad angels. There's fallen angels. And the Bible does say that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He has some control over this atmosphere that we live in. He doesn't have all control, but he has given some control. And we know that many of these fallen angels, again, they are in hell waiting to be released. But in the time being, the devil is making havoc upon earth with all of his other military. Now, hold that thought. Many believe, okay, the angels we're talking about now, many believe these angels are the ones who Peter and Jude refer to are the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Turn to Genesis 6, 1 through 4. Now listen, it was probably about a year ago I preached on this. All right, and it would appear as though there is reproduction of angels in these verses. But I am strongly settled on this is not the reproduction of angels, but it indeed is. It is a godly seed mixing with an ungodly seed. That's what I believe this is. And I'll explain further in a moment. But Genesis chapter 6, look at verse number 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Here's what I know about angels. I know they do not reproduce, as I said a moment ago, and we've got some scriptures for that. There is a set number. We don't know the exact number, but there is a set number. Here in Genesis 6, 1 through 4, we see the human wives and had children by these sons of God. It would appear from other scriptures that this was possible that it happened from these angels were, these sons of God were actually fallen angels. But other scripture read in harmony would make this not possible, because angels do not reproduce and are said to never marry. Stay here. I'm just going to flip back to Matthew right quick. I'm trying to tie a couple things together. Let me just reread this in Matthew 22. Okay, Matthew 22, 29, and 30. I'm here. All right, I'm good now. Matthew 22, 29, and 30. Listen to this. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So there's no marriage, there's no giving in marriage, there is no reproduction, nothing like that at all. And so it would appear that in Genesis 6 it's referring to the godly seed. The godly seed, I like to think that it was through Seth's seed. Godly seed mixing with the ungodly, and man turning away from God until there was only one family left that feared the Lord, Noah and his family. And that's why God destroyed the earth, was right then and right there. And so we are of the persuasion that the sons of God here has to do with Seth's seed. All right, godly seed mixing with ungodly. Now, we've already seen the angels desire to look into salvation, but we know they do possess desire. We know the angels possess a will. We were just reading that to you. Angels possess feeling. Angels possess intelligence. So that's point number two. Angels are real personal beings. Point number one was angels are spirit beings. But then I just want to take a few moments and kind of land the plane on this third one, and that is angels are created beings. This is going to fall right into what I was trying to say before. All right? Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians 1, verse 16. Angels are created beings. All things were created by Christ Jesus, including angelic beings. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. all things were created by him and for him. So there you have it. Angels were created beings. Look, if that was angels lying with the daughters of men back in Genesis 6, wouldn't they still be reproducing? And wouldn't that still be something today? Yes, it would be. And it's just not that at all. It is that mixed seed. All right, God created the angels. All right, he says it here, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. This verse also tells us that the angels were created to glorify Jesus. All things were created by him and for him, created to glorify Jesus, created for his glory, created to serve him, created to praise him. You don't have to turn there. I'll just give it to you for the sake of time, but Hebrews 1, 6. Listen to this. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. So that's what angels do. They are created to glorify Jesus. They are created to serve him and follow his commands. Matthew 26, I'll give it to you. Matthew 26, listen to this, verse 56. I'll just give it to you. Matthew 26, 56. Make sure I'm here. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. All right. Angels were also created to serve God and follow his commands. Okay. Now, let me move on and say, give you a verse over in Job chapter number 38 for just a moment. Job 38, 4 through 7. I will have you turn there. Just for a moment, Job 38, verse 4 through 7. Okay, I knew I did something wrong. I didn't read the right verse. I'm sorry. Go to Job 38, 4 through 7. I'm a stickler on this. I've got to say it right. Matthew 26, 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. All right, created to serve the Father. All right, now I'm good. Now we can go to Job. Read the right verse. All right. We'll just use the screen. Job 38, verse number 4. And what we're getting at with this is that when God created the earth, the sons of God shouted for joy. These sons of God here would refer to angels for man, will refer to angels, for man wasn't created until the sixth day. Listen to this. The Bible says, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Verse 5, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And so we believe that's reference to angels here. All right? And we know that for man wasn't created until the sixth day. So here the sons of God is in relation to angels, while Genesis is in relation to the seed of Seth. All right, and so that's why it is important. You got to know where you're reading and what you're reading. All right. Of course, there's Job chapter number 1 and verse number 6. We won't turn there or I won't make you turn there or ask you to turn there, but then Job chapter 2, verse 1, we know that the sons of God, including Satan, had access to God's throne in these verses. The term sons of God, as used in these passages, is to refer to those to these beings as a direct creation of God. Adam was called the son of God. The son of God. You can go back and read that in Luke 3:38. Adam is known as the son of God, but these angels are known as the sons of God. All right? The sons of God. Here, speaking in Job, when they appeared before the throne. All right? Now, all believers are called sons of God because of the new birth. 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. All right? And then we see that because angels are created beings, they have their limitations. They are not omnipresent like God, and they have limited knowledge. They serve God and to do His will. And we also know this, we already read it, but back in 2 Peter 2:4, fallen angels will be judged by God and cast into hell ultimately there at the very end. And I know that's a lot. Every time we do these classroom style lessons, it's different. It's a different approach. It has to be little by little. And so I hope it was a blessing to you tonight, and I hope something was shared that you like, that you learned maybe. We'll be praying about getting into this, I would say next Wednesday, but next Wednesday, Brother Stephen Sapp is going to be down here, him and Krista and the kids, and he's going to be teaching on next Wednesday. But we will maybe like to continue this study, stretch it out a little bit, fill in some more blanks. So you help me pray about that. But again, tonight the lesson was a look at angels. We looked at angels are spirit beings. Angels are real personal beings. And angels are created beings. Father God, we love you tonight. We thank you for all things, God. I just pray, Lord, that you'd use the lesson tonight as we try to do our best to make things easy to understand. And we know, Lord, that we're not living in this world alone. We know we have you with us, and we have each other, brothers and sisters in Christ and family. But there's angels around. There's angels around. So help us, Lord, just keep an open heart to your word as we continue, if it's your will, to learn about this lesson of angels. We love you tonight, and we thank you and praise you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for coming, and thank you for listening. Anybody have anything they want to say before we get out of here? Well, that was certainly not my intent. Is anybody else confused? Well, okay. For those who are confused, come back. Make sure you're here 2 weeks from now. That's what we'd like to get into next time. And you do know when you start getting into scriptures, sometimes it creates questions. You do know that, right? So it's not a bad thing. Okay? It's not a bad thing. I just want you to know that. It's not a bad thing. And I'm definitely not leading you astray. I know that for a fact. And that's right. So anyway... Whatever. All right, we'll pick it back up in a couple weeks, and maybe we'll take another look at this and see what happens. All right, you're dismissed.